All right, we're back in 1 Kings chapter 8. For Sunday evening, we've been working our way through the Word of God. We've made ourselves to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 to 61. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll get started with this. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of just learning the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the things you teach us from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, may we just have a grateful heart that we can come and gather around here. And we thank you for that. And now, Father, we pray that you would open our understanding, that we would understand the Scriptures. We ask, dear Lord, that you'd grant all of us a filling of the Holy Spirit, and we would thank you for that. And now bless this time tonight. Use it in the lives of everybody that's here and all that will hear it otherwise. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, we got to the dedication of the temple, and we've looked at, for the past couple of weeks, Solomon's prayers, and now we get to this verse 54, and I'll just get to it when I get to it. I want to jump ahead, but I ain't going to do that. But so let's go. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. The posture in prayer. The first thing that I want to speak tonight is simply this, is there's all kinds of posture in prayer. And as we look at the Word of God, one of the things we find is, boy, there's times that they're on their knees praying. There's times they're standing praying. And, we look at the Word of God, there's just all kinds of times when they're praying. And, I get amazed at this because here you have the king, and he's the one doing the praying rather than a priest and or one of the Levites. It's him that's praying. And his posture in prayer, it's interesting because when you look at that, you'd see him on his knees with his hands stretched out like that and praying to God. I think that when I look at stuff like this and then look at this man's life, how it ended, right? I think one of the most amazing things to me is this. Is how committed and how dedicated and how sincere and how serious a man can be with God one day and then wind up being a total, outright reprobate at the end of his life. And that so much speaks volumes to us about influence. Yeah. Now there's two types of influence that Solomon had around him. One was an influence of whatever you do is okay. What Solomon needed around him was some of them old prophets. I mean, Solomon needed somebody around him to influence him away from his own lust. Amen. Now listen, freedom's not what you think it is.
That's right.
You go to Europe, their morals are in the gutter. And I mean, even when they advertise a shower head, they're advertising a shower head. It'd be like Lowe's or Home Depot advertising a shower head. They have the whole family standing buck naked under the shower head alongside the freeway, right? But that's the way it is. There you go, you see. And nothing to them. When we look at this man, there's one thing that lacked in his life. And that one thing destroyed him. And that was this. There was nobody around to restrain his freedom. His freedom. So, what's the Bible say? He wound up with 800 wives and concubines, and it said his wives turned his heart from the Lord, didn't it? In other words, he done all of that. He created an opportunity of influence away from the Lord. He created this opportunity. It was his wives that turned his heart from the Lord. But there was nobody around to turn his heart toward the Lord. And you see, so it is with you and me. If we don't have somebody in our life to rain on our parade, if our life is just one-sided, I guarantee you, trouble awaits down the road.
Right,
why? Because this old flesh loves this old world. And so what you find is this. Regardless of what he was at this point, I would have loved it if it was backwards. If he had started off just an absolute, sorry, slobby, whoremonger and liquor drinking reprobate and wound up like this. But that's not how it happened, is it? You start off like this and wind up like that. You see, the opportunities you have can be the biggest influencers in your life. Why? Because just simply being lust-driven, desire-driven. Remember this. Where the focus goes, the energy goes. Where the focus goes, the energy goes. So if we, when we focused on this building, that's where our energy went, into this building. Then when our focus moved away from it, the basement looks like it does. Why? Because my focus changed, his focus changed. See? But when our focus comes back to that, then that'll change. Whatever gets the focus gets the energy. And that's why we say, man, you know, we tell people, well, if you know, if we could get some folks that would just come and focus on this for a day. Wow, what are we saying? Where the focus is, where the energy is. You see? And that's why we look at some things and we realize, well, if I'm going to focus on that, it's going to require massive energy. All right, go for it. You know, 90% of procrastination is just a fear of the discomfort. You know, the reason you procrastinate because you don't want to have to deal with the discomfort of doing something. And so when I look at this, I think to myself, what a man. Boy. What a leader at this point. But look down the road. You see? And so when I look at the Bible in a practical sense, when I read that, It screams at me. Preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. Because what you are today might not be what you are tomorrow. I mean, all of you adults sitting in here that's been around church any length of time, I mean, we've seen everything happen in so-called churches that you can imagine. I mean, immorality to the max, drugs to the max, theft to the max. I mean, just you name it, it's happened. Where did it happen at? In the church. You see? And so what we find here, he might have been praying today, but his future was going to be destroyed tomorrow. That's why, listen, when you compound influence, you eventually fall to it. And with him getting one wife after another, 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 just think of all the mother-in-laws he had. You know? My goodness. But look at the disaster that it brought into his life. You see, and so he had no influence away from that. You see, and so what we need in our lives is an influence that moves us away from the world, not to the world. An influence that will allow us to control our lust. Amen. An influence that will cause us to fear sin. Amen. Fear God. Something that will cause us to aspire to something higher than low morality.
Amen.
Listen, low standards come from low effort. Average standards. People want to accept just an average something. Well, that's what you get in life, just average. That's it. When in all reality, if a man's going to pray like this, he needs to live like this.
Amen.
And so it is with you and me. If we're going to look at that and say, man, what a dude. He was praying in front of all those people, on his knees, hands up, talking to God. God talking to him. I mean, having a great day, right? Well, you and I better look at that and say, now, wait a minute. That was on Monday. But Tuesday's coming. So let me ask you question number one. Who do you have in your life that would rain on your sin parade? Who do you have in your life that would be somebody that would be honest with you? Who do you have in your life that would make a difference? They might look at you like this, but they might be able to sit back and say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? Well, I'm getting this wife and this wife and this wife. Now, no, 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 no. Don't you understand? If you're going to multiply this influence in your life, it'll eventually control you. Listen, the hardest thing for any of us to do is to separate from things we like worldly, that we know that's not good for us. It's so easy for us now to bring something up on these phones or to sit down and watch the television, yeah. You know, the one-eyed monster, we used to call it. And isn't it? But the thing of it is we get to the point where we accept the garbage. Now, if somebody just physically walked into our house and cussed like happens on TV, we'd knock them back out the front door. We'll be able to cuss them back out the front door. But then we let it happen otherwise. You see, we need to set a standard and then live according to that standard 24/7.
Amen.
Or 25/8. How's that go?
Amen.
That's reality. Because if you don't, you will have compounding influence in your life. And that compounding influence will eventually destroy you. Compounding influence always wins. And boy, we had better pay close attention to that. And so regardless of what he is now, he's going to become something else. And regardless of what you are today, if you allow worldly influences to just consume you, you might say, how's that happen? Little at a time. Little at a time. Man, the truss is under a bridge that's set in the water. If you don't watch it, man, the water will wash it out one little at a time. And the next thing you know, you're gone. That's why it's so dangerous. You get it?
Amen.
Let's go to the next point. All right. 1 Kings 8:55. 1 Kings 8:55. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying. Now, I've got it marked for you. With a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Wow. What a verse. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Amen. There will never be a failure in the promises of God.
Amen.
Never. There'll never be a failure in the promises of God. Our promise, our problem is this. There's a failure with us trusting the promises of God. We don't have a problem hearing it. We have a problem trusting it.
Right.
Don't we? You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I look at this, there hath not failed one word of all his promise. Has the Lord promised to come back? Yes. Has the Lord promised to take care of us? Does the Lord promise to make sure you get to heaven? Yes, yes, and yes, right? Well, I'll tell you what, then we need to believe that, don't we? That's ever so important. He said with a loud voice. And so we find, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So if I went nowhere else tonight, I would say this. Now, I've got a book at home. Some of you might have it too. It's all the promises. It's titled All the Promises of God. And I saw you shaking your head. You got a copy of it, don't you? Yeah. It's been out for a long time. But when you go through that, look at that. And you look at the promises that relate to you personally. As a child of God. The only thing you, if you do that, just sit in front of the mirror. And as you read those promises, every now and then glance up and look at the person in the mirror and say, are you trusting God's promises?
Yeah.
Read a little bit more, look in the mirror and say, hey, are you trusting God's promises? You see, if the Lord has promised something to you and me, then we need to rejoice in the fact that not only has, listen, a promise is a commitment. When somebody promises to do something for you, it's a commitment, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, You know, the Bible says, behold, the armor of flesh will fail you. But when God makes a promise to you, he's making a commitment to you.
Amen.
And God does not break his commitments to any of us.
Amen.
Regardless. One of the things that God does for us, that's an absolute wonder at times. Not only is salvation like we talked about in the Sunday school, but one of the things that God does for us that is absolutely amazing is simply this, is that having eyes to see, you see.
Amen.
Having ears to hear, you hear. But then God looks at a bunch of other people and said, like he did with the Jews this morning, ye are of your father the devil. He looks at some of them and he said, listen, having ears to hear, they hear not. Having eyes to see, they see not. God lets us know that. That's a promise from God. That's a commitment from God that every saved, born again, child of God has a particular ability given to them by God. And when you realize that, it comes with multiple blessings.
Amen.
Because when you slow down long enough to hear what's being said, when you slow down long enough to look and see, and you realize, man, God will show you things that others can't see. God will allow you to hear things that others cannot hear. When you think about these particular blessings, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Man, that's a promise and that's a commitment to the Amen. Children of God.
Amen.
That's why it doesn't make a lick of difference if you're dumber than a driveway rock and your IQ is minus 10. If God wants you to do something, he'll make it possible for you to do it. You see, I mean, listen, if he can cause men that's been dead for a long time to show up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's pretty neat, isn't it? I mean, if he can cause the sun to back up, that's pretty neat, isn't it? Or if he can cause it to stand still, that's pretty good, isn't it? If he can make a jackass talk, that's pretty good. That's really interesting, isn't it? You see?
That's right.
So what we find then is this. When we look at these things, we realize God is making a commitment to us. That's why when it comes to doing things in the will of God, you're unstoppable. That's all there is to it. If it's God's will that this gets done, there ain't nothing going to happen to you until it gets done. But when it gets done, you're done.
Amen.
Ask Paul, he'll tell you. You see, there's a reality to this. And it said, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Not one word has failed. There's a lot of people that's, boy, the archaeologists and everybody else has tried to find a failure in the Word of God. And it's amazing they haven't yet. Several men have set out to try to prove it all wrong. And they wound up getting on their knees in the sands of the desert, calling upon God because it was all true. Go to verse 57 now. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Wow. That's a great statement, isn't it? The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers.
Amen.
Now, God was pretty close to them when they were crossing the desert, wasn't it? But they had issues. didn't they? They sure did. You see, but then he says, let him not leave us nor forsake us. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Well, you see, there's something that's got to happen to keep that from happening. God's not going to leave them nor forsake them until they forsake him. God's not obligated to pamper sin. God is obligated to judge sin. We look at the Word of God. God blew Israel apart, didn't he? Sent them all over the world. Somebody said, who killed all the Jews? God did. Why? They were worthy of capital punishment because of what they were, how they were treating God. We find that several times in the Old Testament, don't we? God turned them over to the Philistines. God turned them over to whoever. Now watch this. But verse 58 now. I've got it highlighted for you because I want you to see it. In verse 57, he says, let him not leave us nor forsake us. See that? Amen. Now, watch verse 58. This is worth a couple silver dollars. That he may incline our hearts unto him.
Amen.
Solomon knew the one thing that's got to happen to keep God on their side was their hearts had to be inclined toward God.
Amen.
Not Beelzebub, not the fish god, not the gods of Egypt or anything else. Their hearts had to be inclined toward the true and the living God.
Amen.
You see, when I look at that, that he may incline our hearts unto him. Wow. Boy, there's a handful of sermons on that one. Why? That he may incline our hearts. In other words, it's not that you're going to incline your heart because you can't. If God doesn't do it, it's not done.
Amen.
Listen, we live in a world. If you choose wrong, know this. You can also choose right.
That's right.
And we live in a world that has right and wrong, don't we? And we live in a world that has God and everything else.
Yeah.
So just like people choose immorality, the children of God can choose morality. Some people can choose lying, cheating, and stealing and corrupted character. But God's children can choose good character, moral character, honest character. They can choose integrity.
Yeah.
Where the rest of the lost world can choose something else. And they do. So know this, if somebody chooses wrong, they could have chosen right. So what's got to happen to us? There's something that's got to take place in us so that we will choose right instead of wrong. We live in a world to where we're so tied to self, The whole world pumps self, 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 self all the time. Man, we have a hard time with God because we're too focused on ourselves.
That's right.
And once, now listen, once you find something that pleases your flesh, it's almost impossible for you to get away from it. Why? Because you like it and you don't see no sin in it. If somebody wanted to poison me, all they'd have to do is put a little poison in a biscuit. I'm gone. A good warm Graham's biscuit with butter all over it. You don't need nothing else. Just a cup of coffee. My goodness. You see what we find here. Now watch this. That he may incline our hearts. He's got to do it. Our hearts unto him. In other words, God is going to incline your heart. You're going to be inclined to do it. You see. And he's going to incline your heart unto him. He's going to put it in your heart to be focused on him. Why? Because, now listen. If you love the Lord, you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's. Listen, where the focus is where the energy goes.
Amen.
And so if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and that's your focus, that's where your energy is going to go. That he may incline our hearts unto him. Now watch this. To walk in all his ways. God has to put that in these hearts of flesh, or you're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, we're not going to do it. We might do it for a while, but then we're not going to do it anymore. Man, we'll mess it up somehow. Listen. Now watch this. And to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. If God does not incline our hearts unto him, we're not going to do that. Incline. In other words, cause you to focus on that. Cause you to look toward that. Cause you to trust that. Cause you to want to do that. Cause you to say, that's right. I need to do that.
Amen.
God puts that in your heart. You see that?
Amen.
And so he says, he's going to be with us. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Well, when God didn't incline a generation of those people, what happened to them? Their heart was no longer inclined toward God, were they? Man, they started worshiping Baal and Asheroth and the gods of Egypt, everything, didn't they? You see, what we find here, Solomon had it right. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him. In other words, if he don't do that, he's not going to do that. If he don't do that, he can't do that. Why? Because of sin in our lives. You see that? I mean, he knew that. And so, when it comes to you and me, man, we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, don't we? We talk about, like I said this morning, man, living off the weak side. You see, listen. With the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, if you're truly blood-washed, born-again child of God, your heart's going to be inclined toward God. Not the world.
Amen.
Toward God. That's why when we look around, we might say, wow, what's happened to him or her or them? Their heart is inclined toward God. That's what happens. And when God first saved me, I had a lot of people say, what happened to you? What happened to you?
Yeah.
I tell you what happened to me. The Holy Ghost moved in.
Amen.
And when he moved in, all them demons moved out. Amen. And then the fight began.
Amen.
You see, that he may incline our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if your heart is not inclined toward God, you better check your salvation. Verse 59. I've got a lot more to say, but I've only got 15 minutes and I got an hour's worth of stuff. Let's go to verse 59. 1 Kings 8, 59. Now I got this all underlined for you. There's several words here that's very, 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 very important. And let these words, wherewith I have made supplication, isn't this something? Now look at this, folks. Stop for a second. Look at verse 54. What does it say? And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying. See that? Right? But then Solomon drifted right back into praying again, didn't he? I love that thought. He said, it says, well, when he made an end of praying and he paused, and then he just drifted right back into praying again, didn't he? May that happen to all of us.
Amen.
Verse 59, let these words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night.
Amen.
That he maintain the cause of his servant.
Amen.
And the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. Oh, I got up and danced around my chair, scared cat to death. I mean, come on, give me another hour. Look at what this man is saying, and look at how this needs to be applied to your life and mine. And let these words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night.
Amen.
How do you like that? He keeps saying day and night, our God, our God, our God. Okay? That he, that's God, maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require. As the matter shall require. Just think about this. That God might maintain the cause of Brandon, Walt, Floyd. The cause.
Amen.
Of Jessica, Nancy, Elaine.
Amen.
The cause. The cause of the individual. You see that? In other words, the cause of his servant. God, he's praying that God would maintain the cause. In other words, the Lord has given you a cause. I say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? God, is this what you want me to do? Yes, that's what I want you to do. Go do it. Well, that turns out to be my cause. Why are you here? Because God put me here. See how the word cause fits in? Why are you doing, why are you driving a million miles a year, you know, cold and everything else? Why? It's cause. Because God put that on you to do it, you see. The cause, that God maintains the cause. You see that? So regardless of what God wants us to do, what we need is this. We need for Him to maintain the cause. In other words, keep it going. Keep it moving somehow, some way. God, do something. I can remember standing right here in this auditorium by myself thinking, Lord, if we start this project, how's this going to happen in here? I need somebody that knows something about sheetrock. I need somebody that knows something about this and that and this and that. How's this going to work out? And then all of a sudden, Daddy Souder come over and said, well, I can't pour concrete during the winter. I might as well come over and help you do this.
Amen.
And I just, nobody knows. I just went outside, walked around a little bit, thanking and praying. I couldn't have, if it had been snowing in a blizzard, I'd have walked outside just as comfortable as anything, just praising God.
Amen.
Because He had it in order. Papa Souder came over here, buddy, and I mean, he could handle the sheetrock and everything, taped it, done everything. You see, that's God maintaining the cause. You know, the work we done behind the Iron Curtain, everybody told us, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. And just you better not tell me I can't do it when God wants me to do it.
Amen.
You might say, you can't do it, and I'll say, that's right. But it's not up to me. It's up to Him. You know what? God can do it. And so we would look at this. He maintained the cause of His servant. So notice this. You become a servant of God in whatever cause God put you there. Why are you here? Because God wanted me here. Why are you doing that? Because God wanted me to do that. Well, God is going to maintain that cause until it is completed to the point that He's satisfied with it.
Amen.
And the cause of His people Israel. This church as a church body. When the Lord puts it on our hearts to do something, that's God's cause. And you might say, well, how are you going to do that? How's that little church going to do that? It's simple. The little church ain't going to do it. Our big God will do it. You see, God will maintain the cause. When you maintain something, that means you keep it running. You keep it going. You see that?
Right.
And so what we find then is when God gives us a cause, He said, at all times as the matter shall require. You see that? Listen. As required. God knows when something's required. There was times that we hit a wall here. Man, we had to deal with issues, electrical, other things. Trying to find a baptistry to put in back here. And Dan remembers that. He mentioned it the other day. We got that baptistry out of Orange, Texas. Had to get some other things. Then we went to put the thing in. We had to do all kinds of cutting over here and cutting over there just to get that thing. Remember that? Get that thing in there like a puzzle. But you know what? You see, as the matter shall require. There's been lots of times in my life when, boy, went along, everything fine. And then all of a sudden, as the matter shall require. You know what? We don't need God to do all these things for us every minute of the day. Doesn't require it, does it? We need His presence. We need His power every second.
Amen.
Every nanosecond.
Amen.
But these blessings, these guiding things, these empowering things, we don't need them all the time.
That's right.
Then there's times when it's required.
Amen.
I've told y'all about me going to the mountain, praying, fasting and praying. Why'd I do that? Because something was required. You see that? And so that's why I don't get shook up at times over some things. Why? Because God's not going to do something until the matter requires. And then when it's required, God will do it. That's it. Period. God will do it. I mean, little David run around with his sling, took off running toward Goliath, right? Now, how many giants did David kill prior to that? None. You see? But the matter required it today, didn't it? So David, pick up you some stones. God, the Holy Ghost, is going to put it in your arm to swing that thing around just right. Let it go at the absolute nanosecond it's supposed to let go. And the Holy Ghost is going to say, one rock between the running lights, boom. And Goliath hit the ground. See, God will help us as the matter requires. Remember that.
Amen.
There's just some days we need God. Amen. In a bad way. And then there's some days we get out of bed, we just don't need him that bad that day. And he knows that. He's done arranged everything for us.
Amen.
Boy, that's a great verse, isn't it? Amen. All right, go to verse 60 now. I got it in blue for you. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else.
Amen.
Listen, when your God is the God that answers prayer, when your God is the God that maintains your cause, when it's your God that protects you, defends you, when it's your God that does all that, the world has got to take notice. God will give some people eyes to see that it's your God that does this. Their worldly God isn't doing too much. Oh, Dagon, he wasn't working out too good, was he, for the Philistines? Matter of fact, he fell over and broke his hands off. Listen to me. There's something about this verse we need to know. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else.
Amen.
Remember, the true and the living God can work through us in such a way that the Muslim will walk away from Islam. The Catholic will walk away from their heresy. The Jehovah's Witness will walk away from their corruption. The Hindus will walk away from their 10,000 gods. When God, through you, manifests himself to these people, they'll look at you and say, your God's real.
Amen.
Now, old Nebuchadnezzar, he had a problem, didn't he? He got really mad. And those three Hebrew children said, oh, King, we're not worried about telling you this, but we're going to tell you this. We're not going to serve your God. If our God wants us to live, we'll live. If he don't, we won't. But regardless of how it is, we're not going to worship your God. Do you see how this works out? So God had, it was required of God to keep them alive to prove something to Nebuchadnezzar. So God showed up, and the Lord Jesus Christ walked in the fire with him, didn't he? And what did old Nebuchadnezzar say after that? If anybody says anything bad about the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, chop him in pieces, chop his family in pieces, sell everything he's got.
Right.
Man, don't anybody talk about it. They're God.
Amen.
You see, what you find is this. God can use you and your testimony to change the mind of the worst heathen on earth.
Amen. Amen.
God can use you and your testimony to change the minds of people about the true and the living God.
Amen.
I've watched young men that were saved people just say, no, I ain't going to do that. And people just get irate and mad. But it didn't bother them none. Because they knew they were standing on the right side of things with God. Go to verse 61. Watch this. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord. Be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as it is this day. You know what that word perfect means? Just one of many little definitions of that word is focused. Let your heart be perfect with the Lord. Focused with the Lord. Focused. Why? Why? If your heart's going to be perfect with the Lord, focused with the Lord, focused on the Lord, why? Like I've already said, where the focus goes, the energy goes. And if your heart's going to be perfect with the Lord's going to be the focus of your life.
Amen.
Listen. Like I've said, people that approach something wholeheartedly, man, they'll go places and experience things that the half-hearted will know nothing about. I personally don't like being around half-hearted people. Either in or out. Why? Because I don't want them to influence me into their mediocrity.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to influence me into mediocrity. I have enough problems at this age, this condition, with my flesh. I mean, you know, I'm thankful that I don't require a lot of sleep. But what sleep I require, I want it. I don't care if it's 4 hours, 5 hours, leave me alone. And sometimes people text me at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I go to bed at 1. And so then somebody going to text me at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. If I could crawl through that phone, I'd reach out the phone at his end and slap him. Just like in them cartoons. Why? Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Because, see, I've learned something about those people. You know what that is? 90% of those people, they live their life so shallow that they don't require sleep at night. They just sleep during the day because they don't have no ambitions about them. They don't do nothing. You see, but the guys that get up in the morning and go do something, they need to have their little bit of sleep at night because they're going to do something during the day. And like one old man said to me one day, he said, boy, I said, what? I thought I was a leghorn and longhorn, that chicken and that rooster and leghorn, you know. Boy, I thought, what? He said, Lee looked at me, I never will forget it. He stuck his finger in my face. He said, earn your rest. Earn your rest. I got that written down in one of my little notebooks. Earn your rest. If you don't earn it, I'm liable to keep you awake. I'm liable to text you late at night, early in the morning. Listen, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord. Folks, listen. The Bible says that the Word of God is written for our admonishment. This stuff is not just written for you to come and hear me talk to you about it. It's written for me to try to inspire you to do it.
Amen.
To live it. Earn your rest. Do it. One guy said to me, he said, have you ever thought about this? He said, God saves you and there's this relationship. He said, have you ever thought about this? If you don't maintain that relationship with God, it goes sour, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? Right. You grieve the Holy Spirit, things go awry, doesn't it?
Right.
He said, listen, I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to have a good relationship with anybody, I've got to earn it, including God. And if you want to have a good, confident, loving, powerful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to earn it.
Amen.
It's not given. It's like respect. Respect is not given, it's earned.
Amen.
And so, know this tonight. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord. God knows where your heart is, doesn't he? God knows where your heart is. So what does God know about your heart tonight? Where's your heart at tonight? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? All right. If you say yes to that, let me ask you this one question. Does your lifestyle and testimony back up what you say? Remember this. What you do speaks so loud I can't hear you talking. Get it?
Amen.
Now listen. You might say, well, I do this and this, 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 this. I'm happy for you. But like I said before, I know people, there's a couple sitting in this congregation that gets up in the wee hours of the morning just so no phone ringing, nothing bothering them. They get up in the wee hours of the morning and they read their Bible and pray and listen to some preaching or something. Why do they do that? It's because they want to maintain. Everybody say maintain. Say it.
Maintain.
Yeah, they want to maintain a good relationship with the Lord. That is so empowering. Just to have that time alone with God. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord. That's our goal. Remember this. Where the focus goes, the energy flows. And so, all I have to do is see where your energy is going and what your energy is going to, and that's going to tell me what your focus is. That's it. And guess what? God knows that too, doesn't he? That's right. Put God first. Not sometime. All the time.
Amen.
Put God's standards first. God's morals, God's character, God's integrity. Put it first. Put it first. Remember, the most powerful thing you've got in your life, the two most powerful words you've got in your life, and they have such power, it's unbelievable. It's just simply yes and no. And guess what? Some people are afraid to tell other people no. Some people are afraid to tell other people no. No, I'm not drinking that, not going there, not saying that, not looking at that. No, you're not going to do that here. No. No. May God give you the courage, the character, and the integrity to have a perfect heart with Him, not a divided heart.
Amen.
Where half of your heart's in the world and the other half's in heaven. That don't work at all. No. Listen, I know some old women that beat half of us to death if they even thought we were doing the wrong thing. I mean, that generation of grandmas is gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
My goodness. I've known some grandmas that, boy, they made all the kids walk the line. I mean, but today parents want to protect their kids from that type of person. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I want people like that in my life.
Amen.
I want that type of influence in my life. Amen. And you should want that type of influence in your life also.
Amen.
Hope this lesson has been, it was really good for me.
Amen.
I really enjoyed it. And now I hope you got something out of it, and I hope you enjoyed it. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Join me.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Isn't that good? Join me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are great, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Brother Floyd, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?